Chapter 26, beginning to read at the first verse. First fruits and tithes. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there, and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this land and gave us this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion, and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 23. And this can be found on page 989 of the Pew Bibles. Matthew 21, starting at 23. The authority of Jesus questioned. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it amongst themselves and said, If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, We don't know. Then he said, Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. The parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. "Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you for your written word. May my spoken word be faithful to this word and open our hearts and minds to hear you today. Amen. So we've just had two readings, both about giving. One was from Deuteronomy, where the people are told to give to God the first fruits of the harvest in response to what God has done for them. And then we heard from Matthew, and I'm going to focus this morning on the second part of this reading. And it was the parable of how many sons? Who heard? Two sons, perfect. So what's that got to do with giving? After all, we're looking at harvest, aren't we? And the giving of God's gifts. Well, we're going to have a look. So we have come and gathered here today to celebrate harvest, and we see your incredible generosity in the giving that you have brought for the charity Feagans. You have given from your own pockets and from your own cupboards to benefit others, and we thank you for that. And the church is beautifully decorated by a team who gave their talent, their time, and their resources using their gifts. So what's that got to do with these two sons? One of whom who says no, and then goes ahead and does what he's asked after all, and one which says yes, and then doesn't do what he's been asked. I really love the parables of Jesus because time often has little bearing on whether we can relate to these stories. A good storyteller absorbs us into the story and you begin to feel a part of it. And here Jesus has done just that. The context, of course, does change. We live here in 2017 in the Tunbridge area or perhaps further afield. And Jesus is speaking to the people in first century Palestine. So that does mean that the understanding of the culture and the time can have a bearing, and I'll point that out to you later. But here, I'm sure you can relate to a time where you may have said yes and haven't carried out a task required, or said no and then afterwards thought, maybe through guilt or a pang of conscience, I will do it, and gone ahead and done it. Wouldn't it be great if I, newly collared, could say I've never been in either of these situations, but with my parents sitting at the back of the church, I can hear the heckles already if I did. And I'm sure they'd be able to tell you many a tale at the end of the service, but just don't go and find them. So if I even hint at pointing a finger out at you, know that there are another three pointing back at myself. So Jesus asked the question, what do you think? And I ask you now, what do you think? The father asked the first son to go and work in the vineyard, and he says point blankly, no, I will not. And as a parent or an adult, how does that make you feel? Imagine you've asked your child or someone else to do something and they just simply say no. As a child, have you ever tried this? What response did you get? I can't imagine it was an entirely positive one. It's incredibly frustrating to ask someone to do something and then they refuse. Jesus doesn't actually tell us what the father says in response. And this is where the cultural significance comes in. If a child or a minor were to say no to their father in first century Palestine, it was a sign of deep disrespect. And in this conversation, if it was had out in public, it would have brought a deep, deep shame on the father. And no parent today likes to be treated disrespectfully, but the impact of this behaviour then was not just a frown from a few onlookers. It would have really brought deep shame on that whole family. So the first son said no and has brought deep disrespect, and the second son has said yes. We are told when the second son is asked to go and work in the vineyard, he says, "I will go, sir." And as a parent, I can imagine the father is pleased. At least one of my sons respects what I want done and responds. However, the twist comes when the son who has said no actually does go and give his time and effort and works in the vineyard as the father has asked. And yet the second son, whose initial reaction was yes, would not have brought that initial shame on the father, but then actually does go and doesn't do what he's asked. The yes and then not carrying out the promise reminds me somewhat of my children pleading to have guinea pigs. Of course we'll feed them, Mum. Of course we'll brush them. Of course we'll clean them out. And deep down, I guess we knew that wasn't actually going to happen. And I bet you can guess who was cleaning Charlie and Lola out in the snow. So, back to the question, what do you think? Which son did the will of the father? Are both responses as bad as one another, to say yes and not do it, or to say no in the first place but redeem yourself later by doing what was asked? The point Jesus is getting at here is that the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, would like to be bold and upfront about their faith and talk the talk but not walk the walk. Their yes was not followed by an action. It says they are hypocrites. Imagine if we had all said yes to bringing food for the vegan charity this morning and not brought anything. Imagine the church decorators had said yes to decorating the church and then hadn't. Imagine if I had said yes to preaching and then not turned up. But you might think that was a bonus because you could get your tea and coffee early. Now, Jesus is not talking about lapses in memory, and I don't think the son said yes and then forgot because he was distracted by his Xbox or a book or a film, or because he was deeply engrossed in something else, although there may be questions about his priorities. He is talking about saying one thing and then living another way. What is our yes? What response should there be to our yes? If we say yes to God, what is the working out of this in our lives? Is it to go to church on Sunday, tick all the right boxes at the right time, in the right situations? One son said no, blatantly, outrightly no. But then we see a change in his mind, a change in his heart. And he went and did the work asked of him. And the shock to the Pharisees is that Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to the kingdom before you." These people were regarded as the lowest of the low in society. In Jesus' day, the tax collectors collected far more than was due, and the prostitutes were seen as unclean. Why would Jesus say they were going into the kingdom first? Surely being an upright citizen that had learned the scriptures was far more important, and God would honour their standing in society. And this is where Jesus turns everything on its head, all their understanding upside down. "They will enter the kingdom of heaven before you," he says. They responded in action despite their no. They have lived out their promise to God in seeing their true repentance, their turning away from the no. God is gracious. He is a forgiving God and does not hold their no against them. And earlier in the service, we took a time to come before God with those things that we had done or equally not done that we should have done, and asked for forgiveness. And Mark spoke the words of absolution over us, the words of forgiveness over us. And that gift, that opportunity to come before God and wipe that slate clean, brings us right back to a relationship with Him, where our no can be left behind, and our right response and our giving of ourselves in the vineyard means we can also be entering the kingdom of God. So back to giving from God's gifts. The Pharisees didn't change their mind. We're told it in verse 32. They continued in their ways, saying yes with no response. And yet those regarded lowest of the low responded in action. They wholeheartedly gave themselves to the task. I don't know, but you might prove me wrong, that any of you have fathers that have got vineyards. Nope. We actually had someone staying with us this weekend whose father did have a vineyard. What gifts has God given us that we can use to further God's kingdom? The gifts we have received this morning will go to greatly benefit the people of Tunbridge who would otherwise go without. This is an outworking of the kingdom of God here on earth. This action, this giving of ourselves, could take on so many forms. And I spoke earlier about the gift of forgiveness. The gift of Jesus from the Father means that we're forgiven and we can come before Him. How can we practice this gift to others? How can you forgive somebody else? God has given us gifts and talents. Perhaps you could pray for others, speak with others, extend an arm of compassion or love to others. And we could go on about the gifts that God has given us that we can share with others. It's from the God who created us, each of us as individuals, that we can take this and extend the kingdom of God to others. And for some, it may be giving of our resources, and I'm sure God will guide you as to what that looks like. But as I come to a close this morning, the most important thing is that our yes has an action attached. That when we say yes to Jesus, we ask Him for His strength and His guidance as we go out from here today, so that we can show our corner of the world what it means to have received from Jesus today and then live out our faith in our giving from God's gift. And always know that if your response in the past has been no, it's not a brick wall or a blockage to your action today. Nothing can separate us from God's love. He is waiting with open arms to forgive us. He forgives each one of us. Let me close us in prayer. Father God, we thank You for all Your good gifts. We thank You that even when we say no, we have the opportunity to say we are sorry and come back to You. Help us this week to be sure our yes is followed by an action to spread Your kingdom here on earth. Amen.